Welcome to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Decker. This podcast is dedicated to providing my books in full, unabridged audio format. Look for new episodes every Tuesday. Now, on with the show. Hello, and welcome back to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. This week, we are continuing to read Blood Games. Last week we read, "What did you do?" Chris asked. "Really?" I asked. "That's your first thought? How could I have had time to do anything?" "That's not what I'm talking about," she growled. "You shouldn't have recorded the video. It got out then?" "It won't have your intended effect," she said. "It's going to add to your criminal image and hysteria," she snorted. "If I can't tell the difference between the fake you and the real you, how do you expect anybody else to?" I opened my mouth to defend myself, but thought better of it, mainly because I was coming up on another group of onlookers and didn't want Spectrum to pick up on my location. Once they were behind me, I let out a breath. I had not realized I had been holding. "I'm coming to you," I said. I hung up before she responded. And now, episode 16. Chris was not hard to find, but I had to circle the Data Raider headquarters to do it. I had become antsy, and just as I was about to take out my phone, I spotted her SUV, within a stone's throw from the entrance to the parking garage. She wouldn't have parked so close. She should not have parked so close. I shook my head, muttering under my breath before I thought better of it. I looked around in case somebody was close enough to have picked me up on Spectrum, and was relieved the nearest man was a block away. Chris could not have chosen a closer or more prominent place to monitor the entrance of the parking garage. She might as well have hung a sign. I'd been careful at the Data Raider compound to park several blocks back to decrease the chances of us being spotted. It should have been a given she do the same here. Perhaps fatigue was affecting her decisions. More likely, she just doesn't believe Reed is involved in all of this, I thought. Or worse, she has less experience with this sort of thing than I've given her credit for. Now that was a scary thought. I was glad I had taken the time to fix my disguise before coming to find her. I had even added a piece of latex to my chin in hope of fooling the face wreck. I had done a bad job of it, but had not wanted to waste time to fix it. I figured the dark would cover up most of it. If anybody noticed, they would assume it was a scar. The goal was to throw off face wreck. I planned to put a bandage over it once the sun came up. Letting out a quiet breath, I stepped into the shadows while I observed Chris. Even with my disguise, I did not want to get any closer. I located the security cameras. The most obvious were at the entrances, but a place as big as the Data Raider headquarters would have them all over. The cameras I saw were focused on the parking garage entrance. There was a chance she was far enough back to not be on video, but it was slight. I fingered my phone while I thought about calling her. I could tell her I had been delayed. Something told me she would leave if I did that. Her belief in me was wavering. Asking her to keep watch alone might be the final straw. Shaking my head, I stepped back onto the sidewalk. If I kept my head at an angle, I might be okay. As soon as I got in, I would convince her to move. I ground my teeth but knew I had to go to her. Reed couldn't know we'd followed him here because it had been sheer luck that I'd found him at the compound. It was impossible for him to have orchestrated something like that. The bombs he had used to level his company's compound had to have been there for some time. They had lain in wait until he had decided to use them. Where else had he left bombs lying in wait? I came up from behind and tapped on the passenger window. Chris looked alarmed and reached for her pistol before she recognized me. With an audible sigh of relief, she unlocked the door. I got into the SUV. "You should not scare a person like that," she said. "You're going to give me a heart attack. Lucky thing I recognized your clothes, otherwise I might have shot you in the head." She leaned in. "What's on your chin?" Something to throw off the face rack cameras, I said. It's hideous. You'll draw more attention with it. Get rid of it. I disagreed, but decided it was not worth the argument. I would put the bandage on before we went out again. She would not like it, but she would have less to complain about. She hit me in the leg, aiming her knuckles into the muscle of my thigh. Don't do that again. Send me a text first. Got it? If you would not have fallen asleep, you would have seen me, I said. That earned me a glare that made me chuckle. It had been a guess, and the fact she did not defend herself told me the truth. Also, send me a selfie so I know who to look for, she said. I was a second away from blowing off your head. Yes, ma'am. The sarcasm was not lost on her. I wondered how far away she was from foaming at the mouth. I was just glad I had done a good enough job on my disguise to fool her. Every news anchor in the nation has been called in early just to get a jump on all the stunts your alter ego pulled tonight. The eyes of the nation are on you. Always thought I would do great things. Orphan boy succeeding and all that. She hissed. This is no laughing matter. If things go wrong, I will be treated as an accomplice. She looked me in the eye. I don't want to be here. This is not what I thought it would be. Sorry, I said, feeling anything but. What had she expected? I refrained from reminding her that I had been reluctant to involve her and had warned her. But it was nice to have somebody to talk to, regardless of the squirrely circumstances. I'm glad you're here. Thank you for following them. My words earned a nod that made me glad I hadn't pushed things any further. Your appreciation is noted, she said. Anything of consequence happen? I asked. Nothing. It's been quiet. Reed and the kids might leave again without us knowing it. There is another exit from the parking garage. I nodded. I know. They went in here? Why do you think I'm here? She asked. Sorry, I said. I'm not thinking straight. Reed has a reason to expect we're out here. If you weren't the most famous man in the city, I would recommend you cover the other. I noticed she was not volunteering to do it herself, but I wasn't going to push her to get out. I wanted her in the car where it was safer. Let's break things up a bit, I said. Drive around the block. We might miss them. Maybe, I said. I left the rest unsaid, but she picked up on it. You think I'm parked too close. You're closer than I would prefer, I shrugged. My paranoia has kept me alive so far. I prefer to act on it and take the chance I'm being foolish. She snorted. You're alive because Reed and Peck benefit the most with you on the run. She cleared her throat as I gave her a toothy smile. If your crazy theories are correct. And here I was thinking you were coming around, I said as she pulled away. At my suggestion, she drove around the block while I surveyed the area, wondering if we'd already been spotted. If anybody inside the headquarters had noticed her waiting, it did not appear they had put a tail on her. We backtracked until we were out of view of anyone in the headquarters. I watched, looking for anything out of place. A man, woman, or car that I'd seen before. Lights on in a building when they should be off, for anything that seemed the slightest bit odd. When she pulled to a stop, I decided we were okay. I'm getting out to monitor the other exit, I said. Don't fall asleep again and answer before the second ring, if possible. When they come, we won't have much time. I grabbed the door handle and pointed to a spot on the road ahead. Don't go any closer than there. And now we're going to take a moment to pause for a commercial break. Yesterday, I released a new short story. It is now currently up on Amazon. It is called Monkey House. If you search for Monkey House and Dan Decker, it will pop up. Here is the book description. Retired lawyer Tom Tate is just about to call it a night when an impossible creature comes out of the bush and asks for help. It is convinced they are in danger. Tom, despite his better judgment, allows the creature in the house. His house is shortly attacked by burly monsters that look like monkey-ape hybrids, demanding he turn over the strange creature. The monsters cannot just talk. Some are as intelligent as Tom Tate. Tom Tate must use his wits to escape the clutches of these menacing monsters as he tries to understand the unexpected situation and how he should respond. If you like monster stories that push the bounds of your imagination, this story is for you. Fans of Planet of the Apes, The Island of Dr. Moreau and Michael Crichton's Next will enjoy this little yarn. Pick up your copy today. And after today's episode, stay tuned for a sneak peek from Monkey House. And now, don't get any closer than there, I said. That won't work. I almost forgot. I held out the monocular, stopping her mid-sentence when she saw it. This is not a good idea, Chris said as she took it. You'll be fine. That bandage makes you more noticeable, she said. I looked in the makeup mirror and tugged at it. I wasn't happy with the job I had done, but was still counting on the darkness of night to keep prying eyes away from me. She was right, but we'd lost too much time as it was circling around. It's not worth the risk, she said. One moment you'll be sitting there trying to look like you're not watching the exit, and the next a group of men will surround you, giving you no choice but to surrender. Yes, but we'll lose him. We'll find him again if we do, she said. It may cost us time, but at least you won't be flapping in the open taking the chance that your stupid bandage trick will fool Face Wreck. I hesitated. As much as I hated to admit it, she had a point. Given all the destruction Reed had perpetrated during the last 7 hours, his forces were going to be on high alert. What were the chances I would escape detection? It was lucky they hadn't made Chris. Or perhaps they're just waiting to swoop in on her, I thought. If that happened, I wanted to make certain I was on hand to help her get away. I'll stay, I said, pulling the door shut. A wise decision, she said, with eyes that could have cut right through me. And now for a sneak peek from Monkey House. Fuzzball ran from a window to a far corner as I entered. One of the eight monkey creatures stood in the broken window, a foot lazily hanging over the edge while a hand was propped up on the inside for balance. Becker's barking appeared to be the only thing that kept it from entering. It blinked at the barking dog. "What you doing?" came a voice from below. "Go on, get in." The creature hissed. "There's a dog that will bite me the moment I touch the floor." I swung my axe, catching the haft in my hand. If there could be a talking bear cub, why not talking monkeys? Had Marjorie slipped something into my Diet Coke before heading out for the evening? I was starting to feel like I had been transported into a bizarre reality with wild animals that could mimic human speech patterns. "Flee, you tormentor," cried Fuzzball from the corner. "Death take you." Strong words from a small cowering creature who had no way of fighting. I glanced at Fuzzball and did a double take. He had his paws up, 4-inch claws were extended. His teeth were bared, giving me a clear view for the first time. They could have chomped my arm in half. He was also standing straight on his 2 feet, rising well above my waist. He looked much more dangerous than when I had first met him. I took several steps into the room, brandishing my axe as if it were a club or a baseball hat. Its handle felt familiar and was comforting. I used it every day during the winter to chop wood. "Look here," I shouted. "This is no place for a brawl." I motioned with my axe at the creature. "You can leave the way you came. Take your friends with you. I won't charge you for the window." He let out a barking laugh. "Petey, you gotta get up in here. There's a flesh bag with an axe who thinks he's going to scare me." "Move, move, Reggie. You need help." This was a third voice. I guess there were 5, maybe 6. I had not counted the shadows. For as fierce as the monsters looked, they sounded like teenage boys who were skipping school for the first time to have a little fun. I took umbrage at being referred to as a flesh bag, but I thought of them as talking monkeys, so perhaps it was only fair. "Call off your dog," Reggie said, looking at me with a mocking smile. That is the end of the sneak peek. If you go to dandeckerbooks.com, you will find a link to the book on amazon.com. I hope you enjoy it.
That's it for this week. I hope you have enjoyed the show. Tune in next week for another installment of the Dan Decker Books Podcast. One last thing before you go. Sign up for my newsletter at dandeckerbooks.com and you will receive a free ebook copy of War of the Fathers. The text, audio, and music for this show are all copyrighted by Dan Decker. All rights reserved. This podcast is published by Xander Revolutions LLC.